This is the Spirit of Leading, your guide to becoming empowered to lead. Competent, confident, and connected. Someone who can and will make a difference in your workplace, your family, and your community. Welcome to the Spirit of Leading. I'm your host, Garland McWaters. Say, I wonder, what's your philosophy of life? In fact, you know, you might even ask, well, what is a philosophy of life, and does it make any difference whether I have one? Why should I have one? If you go to the dictionary, they'll tell you something like this. They'll say, a philosophy of life is an overall vision or an attitude toward life and the purpose of your life. And so we spend a lot of time thinking about that, I believe. Some people spend a lot of time trying to figure that out. Some get it pretty early on, and others actually never quite get there, I guess. And there's got to be tens of thousands of life quest gurus out there, and they're all willing to take your money and to help you figure out what your purpose in life is. And there are some who, if you can't figure out your own purpose in life, well, they'll give you theirs. Well, all that really says to me is that we all do want to come to some understanding of why we're here, what we're supposed to be doing, what our life is supposed to be about, what gives it meaning and purpose. And for a lot of people, living a life with that doesn't have any real anchor or goal or purpose is just sort of futile for them. Years ago, someone gave me a book as a gift. It was a book by Viktor Frankl, and it was called Man's Search for Meaning, something like that. And I found out that Frankl was a professor of neurology and psychiatry, but the book was really about his survival in Nazi Germany through the concentration camps. And his book was rich with insight and meaning, and I was just captivated by it. He said everything can be taken from a man but one thing. The last of human freedoms, and that is the freedom to choose one's attitude in any given circumstance, to choose one's own way. And I got to thinking about that, and he told a story about being basically stripped of all his clothes, and he worked in the cold naked, basically. And he looked at the others around them, and he could tell from the expression on their faces which ones were going to make it and which ones weren't, because the people who looked like they had lost all hope, they had lost any purpose or direction, eventually succumbed. But there were others who were optimistic, and they had this sort of a brightness in their eyes, and they tended to be the ones who made it. And so he had all those experiences, and they were just really rich to me, even though I've never suffered anything even remotely like that in terms of suffering. But he did, and he was able to convey to us that the human spirit is far greater than anything that could ever happen to us. And he also said something else. He said, for the meaning of life is different from one man to the next, from day to day, from hour to hour, and that what matters, therefore, is not the meaning of life in general, but rather the specific meaning of a person's life at any given moment. And that really made me think. You know, we look for this overall, what am I about for like my whole life, but you know, that might change kind of from time to time. And I guess if I look back over mine, I realize that's probably been true for me. We all search for something that gives our lives some purpose and some meaning, and it might kind of shift from time to time. I'm sure there are some overall guiding principles, as I've come up with, that drive our lives. And there's things that seem to sort of rise to the surface as we go through certain times of our life. And so I don't know if there's any one answer, but there are a lot of answers that are actually relevant to each and every person. But however, there's one thing I know. I'm confident, and I believed that I'm doing at this very moment exactly what I believe I'm supposed to be doing, and that's recording this podcast to encourage you that you can continually enlarge your expectations of living each and every day in all aspects of your life, whether it's your work life or your family life or your involvement in your community or your personal quest for realizing a life's purpose as you believe it to be. And so this, at this very moment, is my life purpose, my life meaning, to be offering this information for those people who might find it to be useful to you. And I believe that you can find a spirit of leading within yourself that will guide you to lead the life you desire and to empower others along the way. Several months ago, when I was thinking about what I wanted to do with my work, how I wanted it to go to the next level or another level, I got to really thinking about, you know, what was really the purpose of all my teaching and all of the writing that I do and all the things that I talk to people about. And it's really not to build leadership skills. That's part of it. But it really is to instill or help people discover a spirit or a quality of leading from within themselves that puts them in that place that they really desire to offer themselves in that service. Several years ago, I was co-facilitating a leadership class for 8th and 9th graders. And you know, 8th and 9th graders will really put you to the test. Well, in the class, we asked them to write down a purpose statement, a sort of a mission statement, a life purpose statement. They looked up at me and the person that was working with me on the project, and they said, "Well, what's yours?" It sounds like an 8th grader, doesn't it? "Well, what's yours? Tell me yours, and we'll tell you ours." And so I realized I had never actually done that myself. And so I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, you write yours down and you tell us what yours is, and then we'll share ours with you. We don't want to bias you with ours so that it reflects in yours. We want you to come up with your very own." So that was sort of my way of saying, "Gee, I need to go home and think about this." So anyway, I did. I spent the week really thinking about that. And I reflected back over my entire life at that time. And I thought, well, have there been some common things that have really driven me that have been a part of who I am? And I realized that there were. That in my life, in my life's work, in my life's purpose, and in my heart of hearts, I had really wanted to be the kind of person who was an encourager. I wanted to encourage people that they could be successful or that they could do certain things. I wanted to encourage their spirit. And I'm kind of a lighthearted guy usually. I mean, I get a little serious every once in a while. But I wanted to do, I tried to be a person who saw the humor and the levity of life and, you know, some of the funny things that happen around us to enliven the heart in some way. And also, I'm kind of a man of, I regard myself kind of as a scholar in some forms. I like to search and read and learn things, and I like to enlighten the mind. I like to give people information and help them understand the why behind the what a lot. And a lot of my teaching goes down those roads. So I enlighten the mind. And even more than that, I wanted to enlarge my own expectations of who I was and what I could be, to enlarge my expectations of living and hopefully maybe others as well. So as I reflected on that information, on sort of that, I wrote that down and I presented it to the class that was mine after I heard theirs. And that has really stayed with me for years and years and years. And in fact, I have actually developed that saying into what I call or refer to as the Empowered to Lead Creed. And if you look on my blog post or my website, you'll see that that's right up there in the top upper right-hand corner. And at the end of every class that I teach any place, I always wrap up encouraging people to live by this philosophy. So as I developed my own practice as a leadership trainer, I realized that there were some other principles on which my life and my perspectives were based. So one day I sat down and began to sort of write them out. And from that, I came up with what I now call my 7 tenets or principles that I believe both drive the personal development of an empowered leader and the creation of an empowering workplace culture. Of course, a tenet is an opinion or a principle or a doctrine or a dogma, whatever you want to call it, especially one that is held by members of a group or a profession or a movement. So I guess my Empowered to Lead Creed and these tenets are sort of the tenets or principles of what I try to say as a part of my Empowered to Lead movement, if I could call it that. And so I want to share these tenets with you in this podcast. I just want to go over them. And these tenets have been available on my website and other posts. And I'll make these available so that you can just download them in a PDF and have them. But here's kind of what they are. Tenet number one, we live in a network of relationships. Think about it. Everything is connected. Everything gets done through networks of some kind, networks of relationships. We even network our tools now. I mean, ever since we were able to have this digital computerized kind of things, we've networked the world. We're connected, interconnected globally through the internet, and we share information. And gee, that's part of what we're doing right here. We're networking through the technology that we have so that we can connect some way. And when people connect, the possibilities are absolutely endless. And this is something I picked up through my interest in quantum physics as I read about that and the quantum world, is that everything is connected at some sort of energy level. And then when these little subatomic particles bump into each other, there are any number of possibilities that can happen as a result of that. And I think about if people were these particles, when we bump into each other, there are any number of almost infinite possibilities that now can happen to us. People we meet and the people they introduce us to and the things that they mean to us, on and on and on. It's just absolutely mind-boggling. And not only that, is everything about relationships and a network of relationships. Another principle that goes with that is that each and every one of us, regardless of anything you can think of, each and every one of us is personally responsible for the quality of those relationships. I can't say that's your problem. I have to say it's our problem. I'm a part of that relationship. I'm a part of that that interaction. And so I have a very direct personal responsibility to help that relationship be the best it can possibly be. I am personally accountable for the quality of a relationship, and I just can't blow that off and pass it along. So the first principle is we live in a network of relationships. The second tenet is everything is personal and everyone matters. Stop and think about that. The world that you understand is subjective and it's personal to you and your experience. You can't live any other person's life for them, and you can't experience the world as them. You can only experience it and know it as you. And for you, everything is personal. So for everyone else, everything is equally personal to them. And there is no person who does not matter. Every person's life is as precious to them as your life is to you. Your lives are as precious to you as my life is to me. Everything, everything, everything is personal. It's always personal every time. There's no such thing as objective. It's all personal, and we take things personally. The only reality we know is our own selves, who we are, defined by our beliefs and our experiences and our relationships and our dreams. Even our work is personal. It is a manifestation. It is a giving of our innermost self. It springs from the depths of our own creative mind and spirit. Every human is equally valuable without exception, and we all give of ourselves and we manifest ourselves in what we offer to the world in our creative work. That is our work. Doesn't make any difference how mind-boggling it is or how menial it might be. We give it as an expression of who we are, whether we're digging a ditch or saving the world. Doesn't matter. Everything is personal and everyone matters. The third tenet is everyone seeks personal meaning, which is sort of like what we're talking about in this podcast. A person's search for meaning is the most powerful hunger in the human spirit. We want to be important, and we want to have made a difference in our lives. Everyone has a sort of yearning or feeling within themselves, and we have to treat it with the utmost respect. The fourth tenet is everyone is personally accountable. Everyone is personally accountable. How you live your life is your choice. I can't tell you how you ought to live it. I don't think you ought to tell me how I should live my life. I have lived my life according to the way I believe I want to live and who I am and what matters to me. And so I make my life choices. I choose certain things in my life, and I can never say it's not my choice. There's always a choice there. Now, the consequences might not be what I want. Consequences might be a little horrible for me, but at least I usually always have a choice to do or not do something. And the point is, because I always have choice, I am always responsible for that choice. I am accountable for the choices I make and the consequences that they bring. And just like everybody's life, sometimes we look back on them and there were choices that we made that just really were not good ones. And there were things that we did that really turned out great. But we are accountable and responsible for the choices that we make. And that also encourages me because I am accountable to live very mindfully in the present, to be very much aware of what's going on now, because the present's all I really have. And so it's my responsibility to take affirmative action in the present. The moment is all that I have. I can't say, well, later, somewhere down the road. I have to take affirmative action at this very moment, because that's the only moment that I actually own, because down the road, it might not be there. And in the past, well, that's gone. That's already done. And so I can't go back and change the past, but I can affect the future by the things that I do now. And so live mindfully in the moment, take affirmative action now, constructive action now. And that's part of my empowered philosophy, is that people who are empowered know how to take affirmative action now to create the kind of future that they have in mind. So that's the fourth tenet. Everyone is personally accountable. The fifth tenet is be excellent to yourself and to others. Live excellently. Be honest, self-aware, authentic, no games, no masks. Be excellent to yourself and to others. Tell your truth kindly. Fill yourself with goodness, and that will drive out the bad. You know, sometimes we stop trying to do bad things. We have a bad habit or a bad practice, something we're trying to improve. And a lot of the self-help people will tell you, quit trying not to do something. Instead, replace it with something else. Put something else in its place. Do something constructive. And that goes back to some of the previous tenets. Choose excellence for yourself. Why shouldn't you? Don't you deserve it? Why shouldn't you eat excellent food? Why shouldn't you be around excellent people? Why shouldn't you take excellent care of yourself? Don't you deserve that? And I kind of believe that people who pollute themselves just forget that they're not treating themselves with the respect that they deserve to be treated, and they want to blame other people and say, no, come on now. If you want to have an excellent life, you have the opportunity to treat yourself excellently, so make the excellent choices. Sometimes the easy choices are not excellent at all. Sometimes the difficult choices are the more excellent choices. But you should be excellent to yourself and be excellent to others. Be kind. I can be honest and kind at the same time. I can tell the truth as I understand it and be kind at the same time. I don't have to be derogatory, and I don't have to slur people, and I don't have to do anything that sits them on edge. I don't have to be belligerent or arrogant or egotistical. I just have to be excellent. How hard can that be? Number six is change and diversity are life-giving processes. Think about that. It's the unusual, it's the unexpected, it's the odd that surprise us and thrill us and renew us. You know, we should be welcoming those different things in our life and be stimulated by it. And that's kind of a hard thing to do sometimes, because we get in our comfort zones and we kind of like to keep things the way they are, and we want to keep things away from us that we don't understand. And that really actually contributes to a lot of the problems in the world, because we don't embrace diversity. We don't embrace the different. We don't embrace people that are different from us. We want to be the birds of the feather and stay with our own flock, not realizing that's a whole world out there that can really enrich our lives and gives us, if we're looking for meaning and we're not finding it where we are, why would you stay where you are? Why would you be stuck in your rut and saying, oh, I just can't find anything meaningful? Because you're not out there looking for it. You might find it in something you totally didn't expect. People find when you try something different, or you try something new, or you try something for the first time, yeah, it's scary. But you might, when you try something, you might say, hey, I'm good at this. I like this. This is interesting. This is fun. This is bringing out something in me I didn't know I actually had. And so be willing to try something. Diversity and change, and it doesn't mean you have to do anything risky, but it does mean that you do have to get outside of your comfort zone and be willing to live at least on the edge, let's say, on the edge of your comfort zone. Push the edge just a little bit, and then you can kind of retreat to your comfort space and think about it. Then push the edge a little bit more. You don't have to just jump out there and go wild and crazy. You can progressively and within some element of control and predictability and safety enlarge yourself a little bit. That goes back to the enlarging the expectations of living. You'll never enlarge them if you don't try to enlarge them. And so you're always going to be stuck kind of in the safe zone, which eventually atrophies and, you know, you just kind of expire. So the sixth tenet is change and diversity are life-giving processes. Use them to enlarge the expectations of living and grow your life. And the seventh tenet is trust the Force. Now, that might sound a little out there and Star Wars-y or preachy or something, but trust the Force, because when you stop and think about it, there are forces, natural forces and energies in which we live. They surround us, like gravity or those kinds of things. There's the pure energy of creativity and motivation and love and passion are forces. Those are energies that are expressed through us, but they actually are out there. They're out there everywhere. And if we trust that these forces operate a certain way and they operate consistently, we can learn to trust that. Creativity is a force out there that brings newness and it brings opportunity into our lives. And if we trust that creativity will be a good thing for us, we can experience that and be a part of it. Motivation really is an energy, and motivation is a natural energy you have within yourself to move toward the things where you find benefit and joy and passion, and your passion is there. And so trust that motivation works in everybody's life, and you can move them toward the things where they find benefit and joy, and they're going to want to go there. And the opposite of that, coercion, is also an energy, and it repels people. It drives them away from the things that they might find harmful or distasteful or repugnant to them. Coercion is a fear-based thing, and you want to run away to save yourself and get away from that. That's an energy. That's a force that's there. But motivation is a nice positive energy that creates wholeness and wholesomeness. Love is an energy. It's a very powerful energy, and all kinds of love are there. It's the laws of the attraction. Love is an attraction that's there, and it brings us together. This energy of passion creates movement in our souls and our lives. All of these are forces that are available to us, and they work naturally in our lives, and they work in every aspect of our lives, and we can go with it. We can trust those forces that they will work in our favor, and we can work with others to help those forces be a part of their lives as well. And it's amazing the things that can happen when we get all of our energy moving in the same direction at the same time in a constructive, positive, creative, excellent way. So these seven tenets are the principles that sort of underlie my philosophy of life and my reason to live. Let me review those one more time. First of all, we live in a network of relationships. Second, everything is personal and everyone matters. Number three, everyone seeks personal meaning. Number four, everyone is personally accountable. Number five, be excellent to yourself and to others. Number six, change and diversity are life-giving processes. And number seven, trust the Force. Well, those are the seven tenets that are principles that I try to underlie what I believe in. And I mentioned that my creed is a part of the way I express that. And so my creed is sort of my conscience. It's the way I think about my life every day. And I tell myself, or I ask myself almost in every encounter I have, did I live true to my creed? And my creed just basically is to encourage the spirit, to enliven the heart, to enlighten the mind, and enlarge the expectations of living in myself and in others. And I try to ask myself, am I doing that today and every day? And make a commitment to today and every day, I will do that. Well, I want to conclude with one more quote from Viktor Frankl. He said, "Everyone has his own specific vocation or mission in life. Everyone must carry out a concrete assignment that demands fulfillment. Therein he cannot be replaced, nor can his life be repeated. Thus, everyone's task is unique and his specific opportunity to implement it." And that's so true. Each and every life is precious and meaningful and purposeful, and it matters. Your life is exactly that way. So I want to thank you for listening, and I encourage you not to miss out on any future episodes. We have some good ones coming up. You can subscribe to this my podcast by subscribing to my blog, empoweredtolead.com, and you'll get a notification in your emails when a new podcast is available. And of course, every time I post, you'll also get that notification as well. So I encourage you to go forth in this spirit of leading and live each day according to the Empowered to Lead creed. I'm Garland McWaters, and thank you for listening to The Spirit of Leading.